The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And rise and shine, 7:30. And welcome to Good Shepherd Sunday. That's not the official name of this Sunday, but every year, on the fourth Sunday of Easter, the gospel presents us with that most beloved of all images for Christ our Lord, Christ the Good Shepherd. So it's come to be known as Good Shepherd Sunday, although unofficially. Christ the Good Shepherd, "I am the shepherd," Jesus says, "and you are the sheep." Most beloved image. It's been lyricized and set to music. It's been etched in marble and cast in bronze and gilded and inlaid mosaic. Everybody loves the image of Christ the Good Shepherd. However, this morning, we're going to take a look at it from a slightly different point of view, because when Jesus said that you were a sheep, he was not paying you any compliments. I'm the shepherd. You're the sheep. You're not my swift gazelles. You're not my fleet thoroughbreds. You're not my soaring eagles. You're not my mighty lions. You're my sheep. Now, if you've ever had the chance to live in the proximity of sheep and their shepherds, you know what that means. I had that chance once. A bunch of years ago now, I was in the seminary at the time, but I lived in rural Mexico in the proximity of a shepherd and a sheep. Lived there for the summer. Three things I learned that summer. Three things. Number one, sheep really do know the voice of their shepherd. You know, that shepherd would call to the sheep and they would respond. I would call to the sheep, nothing. Right? I wasn't their shepherd. They didn't listen to my voice. It's the first thing that I learned. Second thing I learned is that sheep are so docile. You know, one day that shepherd, he took a little baby sheep, or couldn't have been more than just a few months old, little baby sheep, and he put it into my arms. And his little tiny legs, little, imagine his little spindly legs, just like little tree branches, and they all just folded up into my arms, and it was just like cradling a little warm ball of fluff. Absolutely adorable. Perfectly docile. It's the second thing I learned. Third thing I learned is that sheep are inexpressibly stupid. They get themselves into so much trouble, and they're dead without a shepherd. This one sheep, for example, he's walking along, eating grass, falls into a ditch right off the side of the road just because he wasn't looking where he was going. So picture this. It's like walk, walk, munch, munch, walk, munch, right into a ditch. So stupid. And then this other sheep, you know, he's just laying down in the middle of the road. No concern whatsoever for his own safety. Suddenly this truck comes barreling around the corner, lays on his horn. And the sheep just, you know, gradually turns his head and looks up at the truck as if to say, "What?" No idea. No idea whatsoever that there's a mortal danger. My favorite story of the sheep, though, it happened one evening when the shepherd was bringing the sheep into this enclosure
for the night. And he says to me, he says, Padre, Padre, ven, ven. He says, Father, Father, come. I wasn't a priest, but he called me Padre no matter what. And he takes his staff and he sticks it in front of the enclosure for the sheep such that every sheep has to leap over his staff to get in to the enclosure. And he says, now watch this. He pulls back the stick. And the sheep keep leaping where the stick used to be. Just because the sheep in front of them did that. Stupidest animals in the entire world. Dead without a shepherd. And Jesus says he's the good shepherd. And you know one of the most important things that tells us? It tells us that there are bad shepherds. And there are. In the time of Jesus, and in the Old Testament, if you were a landowner, you got your son to shepherd the sheep. Because that's how you know they'd be cared for. Remember the story of King David? You remember the story when they called King David and the prophet Samuel went to the home of Jesse and has seven sons. And he called David out from the fields to anoint him to be king of Israel, shepherding the sheep. If you were a landowner, you get your son to shepherd the sheep. Because if you didn't have a son, that meant you had to hire a shepherd. Hired shepherds worked for themselves. Basically, a hired shepherd was a thief. Okay, imagine this. Imagine a low-income employee, low income, low motivation, low intelligence, unsupervised for months on end. They were thieves. They stole the wool. They stole the milk. They stole the newborn calves. They pilfered the crops. No observant Jew would ever buy wool from a shepherd because it was assumed to be stolen goods. Kind of like, you know, you wouldn't buy a Rolex watch out the backside of a van. Assumed to be stolen goods. Such were the bad shepherds. Worked for themselves. Now, a good shepherd, by contrast, they had to suffer for the well-being of the sheep. They suffered in the summertime. Because the summertime is the dry season in Israel. And they had to walk and walk until they came to a place in which there was rain. Long, long, very far away. And there they would stay for months on end at their own inconvenience. Suffered in the wintertime because they had to stay up nights watching over the flock because newborn baby lambs came in the wintertime, and if they didn't swaddle the newborn lamb, they would freeze to death. They would not survive the night. You remember the story of Christmas? You remember the story of Christmas? And the shepherds in Bethlehem are keeping night watch over their flocks. Why are they keeping night watch over their flocks? Because in the winter, in the high plains of central Judea, the piercing cold would kill a newborn lamb. So they had to swaddle the little guy to get him through the night. They protected against thieves. They protected against robbers. There's one thing a good shepherd would not do, though. A good shepherd would not give up his life to save a sheep. It just wouldn't happen. You say, Shepherd, would you lay down your life to save this sheep here? He would say, not only no, but heck no. But Jesus does. Because he loves you. But Jesus does. Now, the reason why I mention all this about shepherds and about sheep is because it is a very apt metaphor for the spiritual war that you are in right now. I don't know, maybe you don't even know it. Maybe you do know it and you really don't like to admit it or even think about it. But the fact is, you are in a spiritual war right now because there are powers of darkness operative in this world and powers of goodness. And they're fighting. One side to save you and the other side to destroy your soul. And there are in this world good shepherds and bad shepherds leading you in one direction or another. Just like in the days of old, bad shepherds work for themselves. The people who run this world, the people who call the shots, the bankers, the financiers, the captains of industry, and the people who are their henchmen, The politicians, the media outlets, the entertainers, the sports stars, they know that you're sheep. They know that if enough people will sign on to an idea, that idea will become popular no matter how stupid the idea is. And if the events of the last 10 years have convinced you of that, nothing will. They know that you're sheep. And they want to use you. They want your vote. They want your dollar. They want the influence that your support affords them. But understand this. They do not know you. And they do not love you. And they most certainly would not lay down their life for you. But the Good Shepherd will. You've got a choice to make. Everybody has a choice to make. You choose which shepherd you listen to. Do you want an easy life? Do you want a comfortable life? Do you want a life in which everything goes your way? You never have to be out of touch with the pulse of society. You're always fashionable. And you're always profitable and you advance from one success to the next. You want that? Listen to the voice of the bad shepherds. Go ahead. But if you want something more, if you want to know the meaning of the word love for yourself and for other people, if you want anybody to tell you the truth, unvarnished and honest, if you want to become who God made you to be, you've got one choice. There's only one voice you can listen to. You have to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Can I tell you a story of someone who listened to the voice of the Good Shepherd? The story comes from our first reading. The character is Peter. Now, in our first reading, he's standing in the courtyard of Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest. And he's proclaiming the gospel of Christ boldly, even though he knows it might cost him his life, and he couldn't care less, not the slightest bit afraid. St. Peter, same guy. Do you remember the story from Holy Thursday? Remember the story of St. Peter from the night before Jesus died? And he's in the courtyard of Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest. People come up to him and they say, "Hey, you're one of his followers." And Peter says, No, I'm not. No, you're one of his followers. I've even seen you with that Jesus. And Peter says, No, you're mistaken. This guy's one of his followers. Even his accent gives him away. Peter says, "I don't even know the man." Scared to death. In the courtyard of Caiaphas the high priest, the exact same place. And do you know how much time has elapsed from Holy Thursday night to the events of the first reading? 2 months. It's quite a turnaround. What happened? What turned Peter around so much? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. But more to the point, Peter's now listening to the voice of the shepherd. He has become who God made him to be. That's what we want. And not just for ourselves. Understand this. Not just for ourselves, but for those we love. Because at some point in life, almost all of us are called on to be shepherds for other people. Yes, you're a sheep, so am I. But I also have this little title called pastor. You want to know what? I'm useless to you if I'm not following the Good Shepherd. Useless. If all I'm doing is listening to the voice of the secular world, if I'm taking my cues from the editorial board of the New York Times, just sleep in on Sunday mornings, for goodness sakes. There's no point in listening to me, blind leading the blind. You want it? Who it's the same for? Parents of children. They need you. Like sheep, they don't know what to do. Like sheep, you don't know what to do. It's why it's so essential that you listen to the voice of the shepherd. But how do you do that? How do you listen to the voice of the shepherd? You listen to the church as it's been taught down through the centuries and lived in the expressed example of the lives of the saints. And if anybody comes along in recent days and tries to contradict the gospel of Christ that's been lived down through the centuries, newsflash, they're not the voice of the Good Shepherd. You want to listen to that voice. And you will be something. And you will become who the Lord wants you to be. It's interesting, in the gospel here, the word that's used for good shepherd, the Greek word, it's different. They use the word kalos, a Greek word, kappa, alpha, lambda, omicron, sigma, kalos. It doesn't just mean good. It means noble, beautiful, good, and perfect. Such is the leadership and the love of Jesus Christ, who loves you and calls you to follow him. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.